Welcome to Venango County Tea Party Patriots 2013 Primary Election Forum. Candidates running for the Office of District Attorney were asked to participate. All candidates were given the same questions and were given the same approximate time to respond. The Venango County Tea Party Patriots are happy to provide the information to educate the voters so that they can make informed decisions at the polling place. My guest today is Brenda Servideo, who is running for the Office of District Attorney in Venango County. Welcome, Brenda. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Would you like to start off by giving us some historical background on yourself as a resident in Venango County?
Well, with regard to being a resident in Venango County, my entire time spent here has been prosecuting cases as an assistant district attorney within the county. And if we're talking about historical background in general, then I would be discussing my background. I grew up in Crawford County, which, of course, abuts the Venango County. And when I grew up in Crawford County, I attended Seton School, which was a Catholic parochial school at that time. When I went to Seton School, I played basketball and volleyball. So we did have sports here in this county. We played St. Pat's and St. Steve's and St. Joe's. I hold no grudges against those teams. some people may carry that into their adulthood, but I do not. I went to Meadville High, graduated there, went to Arizona State. I graduated from the Fort Knox, the Army Fort Knox training camp for officers. So I'm an expert with grenades as well as M16. Graduated from Arizona State, came back here to Pennsylvania. I very much missed it. This is, you know, where, you know, I originated. I missed the change of season. I went to Pitt Law. There were a number of options there, but I did go to Pitt Law. I had a couple girls while I was in law school, and I chose not to practice after I graduated law school and passed the bar exam. I chose to stay home with my girls until my youngest was in preschool because I believe it is important to be there for your children when they're younger. And my mother had done that for me, so I thought it was important. So at that point, when I went to work, I chose to prosecute. Mm-hmm. And since that time, I have prosecuted. I prosecuted in Bradford County for 3 years prior to coming to Venango County and prosecuting here. One of the reasons I didn't stay in the Army is that in the JAG Corps, you're required to both prosecute and defend cases if you're an attorney. And I never had the spirit to defend. I've always been a prosecutor. So, and I've been a victim of crimes myself, both a burglary and an assault, so I know what it is to be a victim. So that was an important area for me. Mm-hmm. So historically, in this county, I've just been a prosecutor, and I seek the, you know, peace, dignity, and justice for the citizens of our community.
Okay. And you briefly touched on some of your qualifications, but why do you feel you're most qualified to be the district attorney?
Well, I believe I am the most qualified, and it is with my prosecutorial background. The entire time that I've worked, and it's been 11 years now, I've worked as an assistant district attorney prosecuting cases. And we prosecute all kinds of cases, from assaults, thefts, drug cases, motor vehicle crashes, you name it. We're there not only to prosecute those cases, but we also enforce. For example, we are at bench warrant hearings. We're at revocations for people who are on probation or parole, who violate again, who commit new crimes. We assure that they are responsible for their actions. And that's what I have done as an assistant district attorney for all these years. Mm-hmm. I would say that, like I said before, that it's just been in my nature, I guess, and perhaps it started out when I was a crossing guard in the elementary school. we work closely with law enforcement, and so that, for those reasons, I believe that I'm most qualified.
And you are employed right now as...
That's correct. Yes, I am the assistant district attorney.
Assistant district attorney of Venango County.
That's correct.
Yes, okay. You're running on the Republican ticket, mm-hmm, in this primary. How long have you been with the party, and what party values will you promote as DA?
Well, originally when I registered to vote, I was in college, and I was at Arizona State. I registered Republican. I changed parties to Democrat later. When I came back into Pennsylvania, I became a Democrat for a while. I live primarily in the Erie County area, and if you know anything about Erie County, it's primarily a Democratic stronghold up there. That changed, though, and it probably changed after 2008. We had what I believe within our government, we have a lot of issues that need resolved, particularly with regard to problems with our debt and budget issues and whatnot. And I believe that the people within the centralized government, and specifically perhaps you could even say it from the top down, Barack Obama, we have need to address those things and not being addressed. Mm-hmm. And so for those reasons, I changed my party back to Republican. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see voting as a Democrat in the this past election in 2012 in November. I recall, I don't know if you watched the Republican National Convention, mm-hmm. but there was one person in particular that I really listened to, and her name was Susana Martinez. She was a governor from New Mexico, mm-hmm. and she had been a Democrat before as well. And she, Governor Martinez, I had come from a family where we worked hard to get ahead, and we pursued our dreams, and she became a prosecutor, and then from prosecution to governor. And it was addressed that she was a Democrat, and she had said during her speech that she had sat down with some other Republicans, and they went over what the values are within the different parties. And it was at that time that she realized that she was, in fact, a Republican. Mm-hmm. And that, too, is exactly how I felt. And for those reasons, I currently am a very strong believing Republican.
Okay. Very good. Maybe you can explain to our listeners what the primary role of the district attorney is.
Well, the district attorney has a number of roles, but the primary role, I would say, is she is, and I say she, because currently our district attorney is Marie Vian, and when I'm elected, I'll also be a female. So she is the chief law enforcement officer in the county. And as the chief law enforcement officer, you have the authority to handle any criminal matters that come from within the county itself. And you either prosecute or dismiss charges that are filed by law enforcement or private people or private complaints. So there's a couple ways that you can prosecute. But primarily she prosecutes. But we don't prosecute in one area specifically. We prosecute, for example, well, there's the crimes code and there's the liquor code and there's the Controlled Substance Drug Device and Cosmetic Act. You have, boating, homicide by while boating or while DUI even. So we have, did I say motor vehicle code? Mm-hmm. We have Pharmacy Act. Those are also drug-related acts. So there's a number of different areas that the district attorney prosecutes cases. So I think primarily what we do is prosecute. And again, it's for the purposes we represent the people of this county, mm-hmm. and we represent them and their interests, and we seek justice for them. But also, part of what the district attorney does is, administratively speaking, we have to look at our budget. Mm-hmm. Prosecuting is really expensive. So in addition to prosecuting cases, the district attorney has to look at the budget. What are ways to cut, you know, back on expenses? It's testing for drugs can cost $800. You're not going to see that from someone who's convicted. They don't pay it back to you, to the county. So we're stuck with these fees. The county, the citizens of this county are stuck with those fees. I just saw this year they increased taxes on people because a grant wasn't given to the district attorney's office for prosecution purposes. Mm-hmm. So how is it that we can decrease our costs and effectively prosecute at a lower amount so it doesn't cost the taxpayers as much? And I have a number of ideas with regard to that. And I don't know if you want me to speak about it now.
Yes, in fact, that would be one of the next questions, that if you're elected, what plans do you have to implement positive changes in the community, and what would they be?
Okay. Well, when you're saying that positive changes in the community, one is a decrease in taxes. Mm-hmm. I'm paying taxes in this county as well. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see my taxes go up. Nobody wants to see them go up. We have people who, when they're charged with offenses, they're supposed to appear in court. Mm-hmm. A bail is placed on them. In order for them to walk out in the community, even though they're charged with a crime, a bail is placed on them. And it's unsecured, generally speaking. So let's say it's $2,000. But one of the conditions is you have to appear at court when you're required to. These people fairly regularly will not appear in court. And at that point in time, what I do is I seek a revocation of their bail. Mm-hmm. And that's scheduled then. Why didn't they appear? And the person will be brought in on a warrant. A warrant will be issued for their arrest. And and most of the time we're able to pick them up. It's hard for the sheriff because there's so many people violating out there. When they're picked up, we bring them in for a hearing, and we hear why it is they failed to appear. Why'd you take off to, you know, California or wherever it is? Why'd you take off to a couple counties away? And at that point in time, we may have a hearing on the matter of their bail. And I have sought bail revocations and got for the county amounts in hundreds of thousands of dollars for people who fail to appear, and they owe the county that money. Mm-hmm. And the county at this point in time, and this is through the clerk's office, the prothonotary, they're to seek that money from those individuals. And at this point in time, that's not being done. And this has gone on for years now. And there is, I can't even tell you how much the amount is right now outstanding for that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that is owed to the county. If we get that money in, that can decrease the amounts that we need, for example, for taxes for people, mm-hmm. in order to prosecute, you know, effectively at a, you know, within a budget, for example. Okay. And I think that's a really an important issue that people have no idea is going on out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If and when you are elected, you'll take the same oath as other officials to protect and defend the Constitution. Is that correct?
Well, I believe that as an assistant district attorney and the district attorney herself, we're officers of the court. We're required to protect and defend the Constitution. In fact, the district attorney is and the assistant district attorney, any prosecutors, as compared with any other lawyers out there, were held to a higher ethical standard. And the reason for that is we hold the person's very liberty in our hands. Will we prosecute? Will we dismiss these charges? And for that reason, we're held to that higher standard. We have to be careful when we look at cases. Are all the facts, you know, there? Can we really proceed? Did they commit the crime? Because we can't proceed on any offenses unless we think that the crime has been committed, and only then do we proceed. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, as an officer of the court, we're constitutionally guaranteed what? Freedom? Mm-hmm. Our very freedom is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And so that is very important to me. And
okay, so it kind of ties into the next question of whether you consider yourself a constitutional lawyer. I mean,
well, I got to tell you, I am not a constitutional lawyer.
Okay.
I'll straight out, I am not a constitutional lawyer. I am a prosecutor. Okay. My mindset is that of prosecution. I hear Barack Obama says he's a constitutional lawyer, okay? Mm-hmm. And when I think of a constitutional lawyer, as he's stating, I think of a person who engages in like obscure constitutional, jurisprudential, who's-he, what's-it kind of arguments. And that's not what I do. Mm-hmm. I prosecute people who have committed offenses against the people in this county. Oftentimes, very terrible offenses. I'm not out there trying to argue some constitutional issue, but I keep in mind the values that we have in the Constitution, right, not so as not to violate any type of constitutional right with regard to a person, a defendant, mm-hmm. because if we did, our cases would be thrown out all the time. Mm-hmm. We couldn't proceed if we were violating their constitutional rights, and there's guarantees within the system that doesn't occur.
Mm, that's an interesting point. You uphold the Constitution in what you do, but you just don't argue it.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
So you do believe then that the citizens of the United States are endowed with unalienable rights? And if so, what are they and why do you believe that?
The inalienable rights that we're endowed with come from our Creator, come from our Maker. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And from that are all things that we have a right to, for example, self-defense, defend ourselves against others. And I think that goes into other areas that we have. For example, when I prosecute, did they defend themselves and those kind of things? But mm-hmm. as far as inalienable rights, we all have them. And I don't think it's just within this United States. I think that people throughout the world mm-hmm. are endowed with these rights from their Creator.
Yes, we just happen to enjoy a country that recognizes them.
That is exactly true.
Yes, yes.
And we are, it is wonderful to have it in our Constitution.
Okay, so here's kind of a hot button issue in Benango County. What's your feeling on gun control?
Well, I'm a member of the NRA, and I was in Fort Knox, Kentucky, so I know how to handle a weapon on occasion. And gun control itself, there's a reason that there are certain controls placed on people. For example, background checks and whatnot. As a prosecutor, I think it's very important to have certain controls on firearms. People who are mentally ill, and I think that's a primary problem out there with regard to any of the tragedies that occur, are people who have these weapons that are mentally ill. It's not because they own 10 guns. Those are responsible gun owners. The gun control is there for the irresponsible gun owner, okay? Mm-hmm. Someone who is drinking and shoots off a gun and shoots somebody under the influence of alcohol. Someone with mental illnesses. Someone who's committed crimes, who's out there using the gun to commit crimes. Those are all people that should not have possessed weapons. So with regard to that, those areas, I am for gun control, yes. Mm-hmm. But I possess a gun myself, and I think that everybody, I also have the concealed carry permit, and I think that everybody who's a responsible gun owner, I go out and you can get yourself a gun. The area that I have a problem with is the laws that are in effect now, they don't, within our county, within the state of Pennsylvania, we have some laws that are different from federal laws. We prosecute our people who violate the gun laws here. I've had some issues with federal laws through the Brady Bill where they won't proceed with people who have guns that aren't supposed to. And that's one issue I have with the federal system is they're not prosecuting when they have people who are violating those laws and should not have guns. Mm-hmm. And yet, at the same time, out of Washington, what we're hearing is we need more gun control. Mm-hmm. No, you need to enforce the laws you have. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Let's enforce the laws.
The law has no teeth sometimes.
Absolutely, and that's very, very frustrating to me.
Would you, as DA, pursue prosecution of a citizen who practiced civil disobedience by refusing to obey an unconstitutional law such as relinquishing all firearms?
Well, you already know my view on firearms. I have myself, so I'm not going to relinquish my firearm. But that's a long question, too. The district attorney will never prosecute for civil disobedience. I think we have a right to stand up, freedom of speech, and say, I'm against this, that, and the other thing. And I think a Tea Party is a good example. You get out there with your sign and you say, this stuff is wrong. What's going on here? Let's put our foot down. Let's join arms and say, stop it. No more to this. This is, you know, mm-hmm. and express ourselves. If that's what we're calling civil disobedience, no one should ever be prosecuted for that. Mm-hmm. If it's an unconstitutional law that we're talking about, I'm not going to prosecute an unconstitutional law. I don't know what person in their right mind would prosecute some law that is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. So, no, I'm not going to mm-hmm. prosecute either a person being expressing their freedom of speech or someone who is, it's an unconstitutional law. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Well, this next question is pretty redundant because and by the way, these questions came from the Venango County Tea Party Patriots, the input that I got from mm-hmm. them. What your stand on the Second Amendment is. I think you've made that pretty clear so far. Is there anything else you want to say about that?
Well, the Second Amendment is different from gun control. Well, I guess it's sort of the same. But, yes, I believe in the right to – firmly believe in every person's right to bear arms, and particularly responsible gun owners is mm-hmm. who I would say has the absolute right to bear arms.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the Tea Party?
Well, when I first ran into the Tea Party, it was through my parents. They're in Crawford County. They live outside Sagertown. And they had it, as I had said, after 2008, we had a lot of issues. And my mother was in the newspaper because she was down, and my father, too. They were in Diamond Park, and they were holding up their signs. I don't know what you call that. They had assembled there in Diamond a rally, yeah, on a number of occasions, actually. And my mother was very proud that she actually was on the front page as well. And I was very impressed with her stand on these different issues. So that's where I got my background with the Deep Tea Party. I really hadn't had any thoughts about it before then. And she had her signs in her garage. And she had made, originally she was an artist and she's very good, but she had done all these signs and they were just so wonderful what her statements were about, you know, the issues that we have with the federal government at this point in time or at that time. So what I think of the Tea Party is, and it's probably through my parents, is that they're a kind of a great constitutional conservative grassroots movement. And it's really what our country was founded on. To me, it is, and I see it as a party that's interested in like limited government or low taxes and a balanced budget. And I think, like I said, I think that's what our country was founded on. I guess that's hence the Tea Party name itself.
That's right.
I suspect
pattern after the original one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Would you prosecute a violation of an obscenity law, such as promotion and sale of pornography? And would you uphold existing ordinances regarding sexually oriented businesses?
Well, with regard to prosecuting a violation of the obscenity law, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
There's laws on the books with regard to all those things now. That's what I do, is I prosecute. I mean, my entire career I've prosecuted. So, yes, I prosecute those people who have violated the law.
So someone would have to bring the case to you before, I mean, you just wouldn't go out and look for that, but somebody would bring it to you.
That's correct. That's correct. If I got information from someone else, what I as a prosecutor do now as an assistant district attorney, I would call state police or local police or whoever jurisdiction it is and say, hey, we need to look at that, because that's part of the district attorney's job. We're actually on duty 24 hours a day. I get calls all the time in the middle of the night. They seek, there's criminal questions about procedure. There's questions about what they should charge and whatnot. So we work every day of the year, no matter. And I don't, I lost my train of thought there for a second. Where were we at? I admit that. To that. I'm not that old, but
the other part is existing ordinances. Some of the municipalities have existing ordinances.
Right. Now, the existing ordinances themselves, those are within. Those are district judge level. The only time that we see an ordinance that's prosecuted is at a summary trial. What happens is the local law enforcement generally will charge, let's say, a disorderly conduct or a noise violation or what you're saying here, mm-hmm. this violation. Mm-hmm. It goes to the district judge. The district judge hears those matters. The district attorney does not at that point. It's through the local law enforcement personnel. If that person feels that they are going to appeal, hey, I've been convicted and I shouldn't have been of this ordinance, then they file appeal within the Court of Common Pleas, and then it comes before the district attorney. And what I do at that point is prosecute that or fight and to try and show and demonstrate with it's a trial all over again is what you have, mm-hmm. and show that this person violated it. So, yes, at that point in time, we definitely prosecute those types of things.
Okay, this question may apply and I'm not. Have you ever been convicted of a crime?
I have never been convicted of a crime, but I think that question should also be asked as to, have you ever been investigated? Have you ever been charged with a crime? It's not just convictions here we're talking about, because a district attorney should be above reproach. Mm-hmm. They should have nothing in their background such as that, this type of a thing, mm-hmm. that could be an issue to the office itself. So, no, I've never been investigated. I've never been charged. I've never been convicted. I've never received an ARD. I don't have any of that. I have received speeding tickets. But that was when I was in but that was in college, and that was out of state. So,
okay. Do you have a good working relationship with all the county judges and the elected officials in Benengo County?
Yes. Yeah, so, as far as the county judges are concerned, we're not just speaking about the Court of Common Pleas judges, but the district judges as well, correct? Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I think, however, that the district attorney and the judges, for purposes of whether, for appearance purposes, if you're really close to them, it gives the appearance of impropriety mm-hmm. because defense lawyers may think, oh, he's going to side with her, or the judge will side with prosecution because look, they're buddy buddy. So there has to be a bit of a separation there. You can't have someone, you know, bending over, a judge bending over backwards for you because you're really good friends. Mm-hmm. So as far as with every judge that I know and I work with, yes, it's true. I respect all of them, and I respect their office as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Point. And the final question we have here is, do you believe a candidate for DA should officially be endorsed by the party before the primary?
That can be tricky. is this the candidate, is the only candidate?
Yeah. I mean, if they get behind one candidate before the primary.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, if there's only one candidate running even for the primary, you only have one candidate.
That's
but
right.
We're talking about a number of candidates
yes.
here. And really, I think that I think that sometimes if you back a particular candidate, that it sways people. A mm-hmm. personal opinion of yours can sway someone to vote for that person because for that reason. And you'll see that. For example, judges aren't allowed to express their opinion and say, I'm for that candidate. It's because they hold they have authority and people look to them for that reason. And so it's considered a violation to do something like that. And I think in this case, that would be this, to me, it should be open for everyone to consider for themselves and to think, look at the backgrounds of the candidates and make a decision for themselves and leave it open. I think generally that's what should happen. As far as after the primary, you're going to have what you have.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
whether
right.
you endorse them or not.
It's a different story.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Well, we have a couple minutes that would you like to do sum up, or is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners about you as district attorney?
I guess I would just let them know that my entire career that I have been prosecuting cases. And I think that when people work in a certain area, you get a certain mindset. And it's hard to just switch a hat and say, oh, you know, I think I'll do this now when you've been prosecuting all your life. So as a prosecutor, when I think of my position as district attorney, it's the same thing that I've been doing now. There's going to be more administrative factors that you have to look at, and I've been considering those when I've decided to run for this position. Administrative factors which include budgetary considerations, fiscal considerations that affect all the people in the community. Some of the issues I have, it's not just a regular person who lives within the county, but our businesses are affected by the crime in this county as well. We have people who continuously steal from our business establishments, whether it be Walmart or a small business owners. And I have prosecuted these retail thefts over and over again throughout the years. And those costs that are associated with those prosecutions and the things that they steal from our business owners are reflected in higher prices for everyone. Mm-hmm. Now we'll talk about people who, for example, steal credit cards from people, from mm-hmm. whoever it may be. They run up these tabs. What happens then? Who pays for that? The credit card companies pay, and perhaps if we prosecute it, eventually we'll get the money back. But all those expenses are put on the people as well. The credit card companies then raise fees. The banks raise fees, and it's every individual within this county then is affected by that as well. So there's so many different areas out there within even our county itself where prosecution is so very important. And I'd just like to say that it's always been my pleasure to prosecute. I take pride in what I've done, and I have always sought to assure peace, dignity, and justice for the people of this county. But I also feel it's very important, because there's such a high ethical obligation here as well, to make sure that we never prosecute someone who is someone that I would know would be not guilty. Mm-hmm. And I get my sense of justice probably from when I was younger. I have a number of siblings. I have five sisters and two brothers. And when I was young, I believed that there were so many injustices committed. And I would want to make sure that my mom and dad immediately set those things to right. So I had a sense when I was younger of what justice was. It had to be fierce and it had to be, you know, in place at once. But then as I got older, and then I had children myself, I didn't want that justice. I just wanted peace and quiet as a parent. So it's those two things that balance within me. And that's where I get my sense of justice is I want peace, dignity, and justice for people as well.
Okay. Well, thank you, Brenda, for coming in for this interview and helping our voters to be informed at the polling place. We really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. It was my pleasure to be here.
The Venango County Tea Party Patriots thanks you for being an informed voter and encourages you to get out and vote on May 21st. These interviews with the candidates for district attorney can be found at www.vctpp.org. That's the Venango County Tea Party Patriot website at vctpp.org.